Blog Talk Radio.
Extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now, here are some questions for my listeners. Have you ever hit rock bottom? Well, I think we all have at one time or another. Can you imagine what it would be like to live your life in a wheelchair? Have you ever wanted to know why you can lose sight of everything when you are in pain? And that is so true. Now, would you like to learn what happens when you sabotage your chances of success? Have you ever heard of living a life of no limits? That's the life we all wish we could lead. Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to go from disability and a wheelchair to an amazing, remarkable recovery? If you can answer yes, or maybe, any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories today. I'll be introducing you to my guest. She has never been on the show before, and I'm very excited to welcome her. She will provide us with wonderful information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about how to become a survivor. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk Farm Media, and it is syndicated on six networks with over 4.5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back. It's time for you to relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She is a highly experienced and effective transformative life coach, success and mindset coach, and licensed master practitioner of LLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. She is also a motivational speaker, mentor, and she is currently writing her first books, which will be out later this year. She is a member of the International Coaching Federation. She holds a current license to practice NLP at master practitioner level from the Society of NLP. And she has run a vibrant coaching and mentoring practice since 2010. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show from Edinburgh, Scotland today, Maureen Shophouse. Hi, Maureen. How are you doing?
Hi, January. I am absolutely brilliant, and it's just great to be here. So thank you for inviting me. Delighted to be here.
Well, I'm just thrilled to have you, too. And we talked before we went on the air.
Yeah.
We were kind of chatting about how we got connected. And basically, what Maureen did, she sent me an email, And guess what? That's how you get on the show.
Yeah. You just have to ask.
Yeah, you just have to ask. And as I'm browsing through my emails every day, I love to hear from everyone who's listening. And you wrote in your email that you have lived a life of no limits. And of course, I love alliteration. So you did it right there. Live a life of no limits. Now let's start off. I always love to ask Maureen, my guest, where your success story began, where you were born, and tell us a little bit about your early life.
Yeah, I was born in Dunfermline in Fife in Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And I've lived in Scotland most of my life, being honest. I've lived, you know, in other parts of the UK and Spain, but for most of my life, I've been in Scotland and, uh-huh. you know, back to my roots now as well, and even the same area where I was brought up. And yeah, you know, in my younger life, you know, I was, you know, I was just a normal child who, you know, just loved school and was into singing and acting, and but was always kind of never quite felt good enough for some reason. You know, I you know, as I grew up, I always kind of, there was a part of me which loved the acting and singing because it was allowed me to be somebody else. When I was my own self, I was actually quite shy and quite, you know, lacked confidence, and, you know, didn't always feel worthy, you know, worthy of love and feel good enough. But no, I guess I had, you know, pretty much normal childhood, and you know, and then went on to university and, you know, studied music and drama. I actually started out as an actress after I did my music and drama degree. Started out as an actress and a performer, and I'll be honest, I actually got stage fright and I gave up because I was so absolutely petrified and paralyzed by stage fright. And I gave up a career I loved, you know, which is actually quite funny now, because, you know, now I'll actually go and stand in front of 200 people and deliver a talk and fly. You know, and I think if only I knew then what I knew now.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of, but you know, at that time, you know, it was, you know, I sort of struggled and struggled to the extent it got me, you know, the stage fright got me. And I was this brilliant person in rehearsal and this, you know, person who went to pieces on the stage. And so I gave that up and went into another career. But I guess, you know, what really was something that throughout my life was always kind of in the background was I was never, you know, I always had ill health issues.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was never fully fit or healthy. You know, everybody else always seemed to have more energy than me. Everybody else always seemed to, you know, be able to party till 3-4 in the morning, and I was falling home to bed, you know, at early hours, you know, a lot earlier on. So I guess, you know, my ill health kind of started quite early on in life, and, you know, I think, you know, as we go on, obviously more of my story will now come apparent, but I think, you know, it's kind of one of the things that throughout my life has been in the background of, you know, a few ill health issues. And I never really saw myself in as a really healthy light. But.
Okay, so that actually, without you realizing it, or anyone else probably, the scene was set.
Yeah,
were you an only child, or did you have siblings?
Yeah, no, I've got two brothers. I've got an older brother and a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I say no, so I was the middle one, and you know, and I think, you know, to the outside world, I was always very happy, and you know, I was great at putting a show on, put the brave face on. I was great at putting the brave face on to the world.
You know, just from talking to you as briefly as we're talking, I can tell, like, that you, like myself, you are a people pleaser, and
definitely, I was.
I think we all find each other eventually. It's part of the whole process.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you were not doing well in the theater.
Yeah,
and you're a people pleaser. What happened to you next? Share your story.
Well, from there, I went into teaching and, you know, went back into teaching music and drama and piano. I'm a classically trained pianist and teach piano and raised a family, you know, got married and had children. And really, you know, as time went on, I started to have some health issues or ill health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I got very sick with a very bad woman bowel infection at a time, unfortunately, I was actually expecting. I was, you know, carrying a baby, and I lost the baby and ended up with a real bad infection, which just kind of lingered around and never cleared up. And sort of at the age of 29, 30, you know, I had to get home help. I was so fatigued. I was diagnosed with ME. I was told that it was perhaps multiple sclerosis at that stage, and the only time would tell. And, you know, I went through a period of just feeling so exhausted. My husband at that time was working abroad. I was trying to bring up two children. And, you know, at the age of 30, I was being told I had to take things easy. It was this, you know, doctors said, well, you're going to have to take things easy. You need to rest. You need to look after yourself. So, you know, this kind of ill health thing was kind of creeping in this bit more. And to the extent, you know, and I was struggling sometimes to walk, and I was losing balance, and my eyesight was going. And you know, and to be honest, you know, I did in time get well enough to get back to work again, but I never ever fully recovered. And I went from there. We actually moved as a family to Spain to try and get the warmer weather. And the cold used to make me feel so ill. And, you know, I did get well enough to work again, but I never, ever really recovered. I was always the person that had to flop into bed on the Sunday afternoon and had to, you know, and everybody would go, leave it, I'll do that for you. You know, I was always falling. I was always tripping. I was always dropping things. You know, I just always felt that I was, I never ever really saw myself in this fully healthy light, because I never ever felt it. I never ever felt like that. And I say doctors, you know, would take the attitude of, you know, you need to rest more. With your medical history, medical history suddenly got planted on me. The medical history of, oh, well, ME, stroke MS, you know, several bad infections.
What,
and
What does ME mean? I don't know that.
It's, again, it's... myalgic encephalitis, it's very much, over here, it's kind of known as, I suppose, a tiredness, you know, a chronic fatigue syndrome. Chronic fatigue syndrome, which affects lots of things. It affects your muscles and obviously exhaustion, and it can make you, you know, again, it can have some neurological sides to it as well, which, you know, can cause a bit of confusion over what it is. But essentially, you're so exhausted, you can hardly brush your teeth. You can hardly lift a toothbrush.
I know what MS is. I'm familiar with that, but I had never heard of ME. So then what happened? Did you end up in a wheelchair at this point?
Yeah. Well, not at that point. I said I got well enough to work again. I was never, ever, you know, completely recovered. I was always exhausted. I was always pushing. But, you know, I was one of these people that put the brave face onto the world and, you know, struggled on. And I was teaching at the time, and I just kept pushing myself. And my husband at that time, who actually, I mean, we're no longer married. I'm now remarried. My husband at that time, you know, went through a period of about 10 years of not working. So I ended up taking on the role of breadwinner. You know, and huge financial pressures, very stressful marriage, trying to raise children. My father died. We came back from Spain. I went through a grieving process, but I didn't allow myself to grieve properly either, because I was trying to be strong for everyone. I was trying to be strong for my mother and my children and trying to keep a family together. So in essence, you know, I started working about 60 to 80 hours a week, probably.
Oh, my God. That's too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I kind of, in the, you know, the 90s, I was kind of working 60 to 80 hours a week, holding down two jobs, trying to run a home. I had financial pressures. I had a husband out of work, a stressful marriage, raising children, teenagers, and feeling so ill and getting worse and worse. And, you know, I started tripping more. I started falling more. I started, my speech would slur. My eyesight would go. And to cut a long story short, I had lots and lots of different tests. Pain absolutely took over me. It was like the sword of Damocles came down on me. It was like, you know, something had to stop me, January. It was almost like, you know, I was on this treadmill and I was feeling I was existing and I was exhausted and, you know, a really stressful life. And I was feeling more and more pain and falling more and tripping more and really sort of not being able to think straight. And it was like I was hit by the sword of Damocles, because it was like suddenly I was getting electric shocks flying around my body. I was getting horrendous muscle spasms. I was falling. I was tripping more and more. And it was terrifying. And I ended up, I was so ill I couldn't work. I could hardly even lift my head off the pillow because every time I moved, I would get electric shock like pains flying around my body. And I had lots of tests.
Who was your support system? Who did you turn to for help?
I was probably one of these people who tried just to do it all and brave face on of I'm managing, I'm coping, it's okay. And, still trying, even though, it was a terrifying place to be and I was absolutely engulfed in pain, to try and have this brave face on of I can handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I love that. That's part of, that's part of what I assimilated when we lived in London, that the Brits or the Scots, they all know how to carry on. And it's a part of your culture. It's wonderful, but it can be difficult.
And it's trying to be everything to everybody. And, and it was like the sword of Damocles came down and struck me and went, well, something's going to have to stop you, girl.
Yeah.
And, I ended up, I had so many different diagnoses in the beginning. I had so many hospital tests, so many different diagnoses. I mean, my medical notes absolutely bulge. I was told I had fibromyalgia, I was told I had osteopenia, sure. I was told, and a big long list of things. And then finally, I was given a clinical diagnosis of multiple sclerosis.
Oh, okay, there we are. Now we have a diagnosis, and I also have a diagnosis for our listeners, because we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors. And once we hear from them, we're going to come back and visit Maureen Sharphouse and hear how she turned things around and how she began to live a life of no limits. We'll be right back.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Every decade had its musical phenomenon. The 1960s had Motown, the Supremes, the Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, the Four Tops. The exciting new book, Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans by Tom Ingracia, presents 140 never-before-published photographs taken by fans from around the world that tell the story of the people, places, and things that made Motown the music that inspired a generation. Relive the memories of a time when we were all dancing in the streets, and the music of Motown reigns supreme. Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans, is available from Amazon.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Wine Zone. I'm very pleased to have you here. We're visiting with my guest, who is not a whiner, and her name is Maureen Sharphouse, and she is Skyping in from Edinburgh. I'm looking at my notes, and she says, if you had met me several years ago, you would have been facing a frail, hollow-eyed lady hobbling around on a stick and a Zimmer frame, I don't know what that is, and being taken out in a wheelchair. She relied on carers to bathe and dress her and had been awarded disability benefits from life at the highest rates available for both care and mobility. It wasn't expected that she would ever improve. She lived in excruciating pain and was told to accept her life, accept her illness, and accept the limitations that were imposed. It was also a highly stressful marriage, financial pressures, and she had totally lost sight. Okay. All right, Maureen. So then, now what happens?
Yeah.
It doesn't get any worse, dear.
Well, it had gone downhill so badly. I mean, over the period of 5 years since I was kind of was too ill to work and told Luke, you know, you've like got this neurological illness by the looks of it, you know, and there's no cure for it. And I just kept going downhill. And as you say, you know, I got to that stage, I was 6'2" and carers coming in to bath and dress me and awarded disability benefits for life, for I wasn't expected to improve. Mm-hmm. And being honest, you know, for a long time, I did accept, because I was told to accept my life, you know, what's going on. But there was, you know, I got to a stage, in all honesty, January, I got sick of being sick.
And I love it.
I mean, that is, in all truth and honesty, you know, people say to me, what happened? Yeah. And I just think, I got sick of being sick.
I got so fed up with being sick. I have to tell you, dear, that is a great title for your book. That's a killer title.
Yeah.
Being sick. I expect to see that book written. I mean, that just totally, what an amazing comment to make. So you got sick of being sick, so then what did you do next?
I got so sick of being sick, and I see there was this real defining moment when I just thought, do you know, I can't do this anymore. I've got 30 or 40 more years ahead of me of the same. Of progressive disability, of relying on carers to come and get me, you know, to come and bath me and dress me. And, you know, and I was living in excruciating pain. So it really was a very defining moment of, you know, a specific morning, I was dumped, you know, bath dressed, put in my same chair in the usual place in my front room. And it was actually a song that came on the radio. I mean, I was so fed up that day. And this song came on the radio, and it was a song by the Lighthouse Family. And the words were, although it's darker than December, what's ahead is a different colour. Now, that song meant a lot to me. I'd listened to it for about 5 years on and off, because it always gave me hope, that maybe, you know, the hope. But I actually, when it came on that morning, I screamed at the top of my voice of, no, it's not. For me, it's all the same. Uh-huh. So, you know, it was that literally, and I just, in that moment, I was so sick of being sick. Mm-hmm. And that the words of that song saying, what's ahead is a different colour, made me scream, you know, actually, no, it's not. For me, it's just... And I realized in that moment that, you know, I don't want to live this life anymore. Wow. And I think in very simplistic terms, I got better because I decided to. Mm-hmm. And that's very simplistic. And it took me, you know, 8 to 10 years to do it. So it's not that it was like a quick overnight fix by any means. It was a long haul to get to the full health and happiness I have now. You know, I am happier and healthier than I've ever been, ever.
Okay. And now, I think this sounds like a fabulous movie, quite frankly.
Me getting sick of being sick.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the title. It's going to fly. I can see this one happening. So what happened during these 8 to 10 years? What was your first step?
The first step was actually in that moment, that same time when I just went, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore, you know. And I actually visualized, I dug deep for courage, and I visualized myself. I saw for myself a different future in my mind. I saw myself laughing and happy and healthy and running up hills with dogs at my feet, squealing with grandchildren on the floor, running into a lover's arms at an airport. And I actually made that picture in my mind. And that was that catalyst then of, you know, I allowed myself to see something which I'd been told wasn't possible. You know, I'd been told my future was the same, just to accept my disability and illness. So that's
So you're saying visualization did it?
It's not what did it, but it certainly was what fired my hunger and fired my belief. You know, it was this catalyst of, it ignited hope in me. You know, I allowed myself to take myself in my mind to see something different, to see being happy and healthy. And it was like this dangled, this carrot. It ignited in me this, you know, it was almost like up to that point, I'd been going on this downward spiral. I felt almost I was dying, you know, in the term of I was disappearing slowly and dying. Oh. And it was like I threw the roadblock out. It was like I'd thrown this roadblock out with enough is enough. And I visualized myself happy and healthy and laughing. And I not only did I see myself walking and running up the hills with my dogs, I allowed myself to float into that picture and into my own body. So I actually felt in my mind that I was there. And I allowed myself to feel like the wind in my hair and my feet and my legs walking and running and hear myself laughing. So I actually put myself right into that picture as if I was there now. And that was the bit that actually, you know, I started doing that every day. You know, I did that several times a day. And the more I did it, the more I believed it was possible, the more I believed I could do it, the more real it felt. You know, I would allow myself to float into my body, you know, in my mind and be walking and running. And the more I did that, the more I believed I could do it. And the more that then led me to really think, just take the steps. You know, and from there onwards, it was like constantly having to get me so hungry that I was prepared to do whatever it took for however long it took to make that vision real. You know, I had to slap to that with every fiber of my being. I had to just say, that is it, you know, and it would completely wipe out everything else, you know, all, you know, really all negative thoughts, you know, all the mental conditioning, all the thoughts of others. It was like I had to just totally focus on this picture of me happy, healthy, walking, running, and allow myself then to believe it could happen. And then it was taking the steps, you know, but I needed that real hunger. And I say, you know, the steps were, you know, at first I remember I tried, the very first thing I did, funnily enough, as in a practical step, was I put lip gloss on. January, you like that one. Because I looked in the mirror and saw, and I didn't like what I saw. You know, I was 6'2" and frail and you know, relying on people. And it was like I lifted out a lip gloss out of a drawer and put some on. And it was like saying to me, you matter, girl. Your life counts. And then, you know, from there, it was like trying to put my socks on and then trying to, you know, walk a few steps. And, you know, and so it's a long haul and, you know, a lot of, you know, very practical, trying to build up muscles, trying to walk a bit, trying to do things. But it was a 360 approach. It was on my mind, my body, my spirit, my soul. It was having to take a complete look at me as a complete person.
Oh, my gosh. Your story, I love sharing you with everyone. And the title of this movie is going to be Sick of Being Sick. And I'm going to be at the premiere. It'll be fabulous. Yeah. Right now, we're going to hear from our fabulous sponsors. And when we come back with Maureen, we're going to share her website. And we're going to share how you can contact her and be in touch with her. We'll be right back.
Come explore with Clyde McCauley the world of the Little Cuties Let's Pretend books with your little one. Imagine the funny mixed up emotions of an onion that cries when it's happy, and delight in the giant ears that make a little elephant special. Meet the engaging characters who will inspire imagination and build curiosity in your little cutie. This is where the love of learning is born. So discover the world of Little Cuties Let's Pretend today. The first two Little Cuties Let's Pretend titles are at Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. January Jones presents Drs. Ed Feiereisen and Bob Ruotolo, co-founders of Motive Creations, as sponsors. For those seeking more empowerment and control over their happiness and well-being, you have come to the right spot. MC365 provides the necessary tools and techniques to make your life even more spectacular. Today is the perfect day to start your journey to become happier and healthier. Our mission is to help you achieve yours. Seeking to reduce stress? Start now. Want a better relationship? Start now. Increase your self-esteem? Start now. Do you want more passion in life? Start now. Go to www.motivecreations.com. That's MOTIVcreations.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Welcome back, and Priceless Personalities is also now available at audiblebooks.com. Today, I have a very, very priceless personality visiting with us from Edinburgh, Scotland, Maureen Sharphouse. Maureen, let's share your website information and share with my listeners how they can contact you, dear.
Yeah, sure. You'll find me on my website is www.maureensharphouse.com.
Okay.
So, and again, anybody that wants to contact me can simply email me at maureen@maureensharphouse.com. So it's fairly straightforward.
Okay. And
yeah.
Now, do you have a book coming up soon?
I am writing my book, which is the book of my story, sharing my story, but sharing the mental and practical and, you know, the strategies and steps I took to transform my life so that the reader can transform their life also. So it's very much an inspirational story. My story is woven in and out, and I share an awful lot of personal things and really go into, you know, exactly, you know, what happened and just, you know, how it was. But again, it's very much for the reader. I'm sharing how I did it, the steps I took, the mental processes, the 360-degree approach I took, the mind, body, spirit, soul approach I took, and, you know, the steps that, you know, the reader needs to take, you know, if they want to make major and meaningful transformation in their life. So that is, you know, I am writing that now, you know, and I see working title at the moment is Everyday Miracles, but you're getting me thinking here about Sick of Being Sick.
Oh, no, I have a new title, and your book is going to be called Sick of Being Sick.
Yeah. watch out on Amazon for it.
Yeah, that's a killer title.
And
I think you really need to get this book out, because you know what? I think your book is going to be a fabulous movie. Now, let's talk about how long did it take for you to craft your own recovery? How long was this process? How many years?
Almost 10. Well, it was about 8, being honest, but then an extra 2 of, you know, I stopped walking with a stick in 2010, probably. So I kind of went from, you know, over the years of trying to build things up and getting fitter and healthier. And I made a lot of changes. Obviously, it was about, you know, the physical side. And it was about, you know, dealing with pain. You know, I was in the most excruciating pain and nerve pain. And, you know, but it was the physical side. But it was also about really looking at myself and discovering who I was again. And, you know, it's almost January that I feel almost it was like I recovered at the rate, my body healed at the rate that I kind of found myself. Mm-hmm. And threw off all ideas of perceived limitations, threw off all guilt, all regret, all fears, really mm-hmm. discovered me and allowed myself to fully express me, you know. And I think, you know, the whole process was like 8 to 10 years. And honestly, so it was a long, long process. And, you know, I had to commit to be in for the long haul because, mm-hmm. I'm, at the end of the time, you know, I could hardly even lift a cup up, you know, in the outset. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a long, long haul, but it was really, it was that I had to do it with, I had to go after it with every fiber of my being. You know, I had to believe, you know, that my life depended on this. And I had to just keep focusing on the prize. You know, it was like keeping my eye on the prize of seeing this life of me being fully happy, healthy, and allowing myself to float into it and feel it. And, you know, and I made lots of changes over the way. And, you know, and I left a very, mm-hmm. you know, my marriage. I was married 28 years when I left.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I had to go and live with my mother for a while and then start out again in life on my own with, and then, you know, with not great health. And I say, but however, I have remarried. I have got a wonderful Prince Charming, knight in shining armor and everything. I have got this, got it all. Do you know, everything.
This will be a perfect story for Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, everything that I saw in my mind, you know, when happened. I go back to that moment in 2002 and everything I saw in my mind that day of being up the hills with dogs, laughing, being happy and healthy and running into a lover's arms at the airport and being on the floor with grandchildren squealing with laughter, you know, all those things are in my life now. You know, my life is the way I saw it.
Uh-huh.
I have got everything. You know, I have an amazing life now and I feel so blessed. And, you know, I'm happier and healthier than I've ever been. And, you know, I have a wonderful business I love, you know, and mm-hmm. it's, you know, and I have wonderful relationships and I have the romance and the love and the wonderful family and, you know, and yeah, but it's, I am so aware I did it. You know, there isn't a magic wand. There is no magic genie. If you want to create changes in your life, you mm-hmm. have to take ownership. You have to take ownership of your own mind. It's your mind. It's your body. It's your life. It's your choices. And you have to really take real ownership and really focus in. And it's almost like you have to go after things with this just total belief and knowing that you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you have presented an amazing argument for visualization. And I feel honored to have been able to share this with our listeners because you are probably the most positive person I've ever interviewed.
And visualization is a massive part of what I do with my clients. I mean, I work with clients all over the world by Skype, you know, helping them make meaningful change. But I've actually, you know, if your listeners would like, I would be very happy to send them a free visualization and meditation audio. You know, I've got a 30-minute audio, which is in my voice, you know, and which, again, is the same visualization process that I personally use and that I use with my clients. You know, so if anybody wants that, if they just literally, you know, get hold of me via my website or drop me an email, maureen@maureensharphouse.com, then I'll be very happy to send them the MP3. Very happy
wonderful.
To do so.
Well, we're going to also visualize my wonderful sponsors. And then after we get done visualizing them, we're going to share your information so that our listeners can get your free audio, your free visualization, and also your free weekly email update. This is really positive stuff. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Rachel Carson wrote, "Spring now comes unheralded by the return of the birds, and the early mornings are strangely silent where once they were filled with birdsong. Little did she know the movement she began would lead to the destruction she envisaged, announcing the release of John Graves' new book, Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. Today's wind turbines kill millions of birds, require backup power plants, are harmful or deadly to humans, have enormous costs. There are alternative wind turbine choices. The wealthiest benefit from wind. we pay higher prices. The story is conservation, the environment. I've seen dead people, author Teresa Sneed says with a grin. They've spoken to me. Teresa Sneed writes fantasy, mystery, suspense, and realistic paranormal with a touch of sweet romance. She writes what she knows, full of insight into the spirit world, coupled with a panache for humor. Her No Angels series about angels and demons interacting with the living are simply fascinating. Sneed has three more series as well, from Wizards and Dragons to Witches of Salem. Visit teresasneed.com for more information or search for Teresa Sneed Books on Amazon.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast January Jones, sharing success stories. And today I'm pleased to be able to share with you Maureen Sharphouse. She is visiting with us on Skype from Edinburgh, Scotland. She has offered a free audio and PDF guide, The Secret to Feeling Alive and Living a Life of No Limits, for all of our listeners. She's also offering free visualization, meditation, audio, sharing the technique she personally uses with her clients. And she's also offering a free sign-up for her weekly email update, Live a Life of No Limits, sharing great personal development and mindset tips. Maureen, this is amazing. So people need to just go to www.maureensharphouse.com, right?
That's right. Yeah, just go there. And I see the free audio and the PDF guide, The Secret to Feeling Alive and Living a Life of No Limits. That is available on the website, just to stick your name and email in. And that will automatically, you know, can put you onto my email list. But if you'd like the visualization one, I mean, again, anybody that just contacts me via my website or drops me an email, maureen@maureensharphouse.com, I would be very happy to let them have the visualization and meditation one as well, you know, as well as the secret to feeling alive and living a life of no limits. And, you know, the secret to feeling alive and living a life of no limits, it's a lot of my personal secrets. You know, it's what I discovered over the period of 8 to 10 years it took me to transform my life. So, yeah, I would love to send your listeners those. And, you know, my weekly email update, you know, I, as well as sort of personal development tips and mindset tips, there's a lot of NLP tools. You know, I give my thoughts and lives. You get my blogs, short videos, empowering affirmations, and sometimes, you know, free hypnosis audios and audios that I send out. So no, that would be absolutely great. You know, if I'd love to have your readers come, join your listeners come, join my community, and
I hope they
know me. Yeah,
I hope they do. Now, I'm curious to know. You've gone through quite a lot. What an experience you've been through. Has it made you bitter?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do you know, it's one of these things. I actually, personally, would go through it all again tomorrow to be in this amazing place I am now. And I genuinely mean that. I am happier and healthier than I've ever been. I learned so much from it. You know, I almost feel it happened for me, not to me. You know, it happened for me to allow me to, you know, go through it, to take all the learnings on board, to come out the other end so that I can now do the wonderful job I do and help others transform their life. You know, and I feel I'm better for it, January. You know, I don't feel bitter. I feel better.
I like that.
I just feel better, and I feel complete, and I feel whole. And I have such a deep sense of inner peace and joy. And it's like, you know, I go through life almost like a child now with, you know, the eyes wide open and the ears wide open. And I touch and I taste and I feel. And, you know, I noticed all the things that actually I never noticed before, you know, and I just think, you know, I would not have experienced, I wouldn't be where I am now if I hadn't gone through all that. Well, so I think your answer is no, I'm definitely not bitter. I'm almost thankful. You know, I feel it's happened for me and it's brought me to this wonderful place in my life. And I now have, you know, I'm going to be 60 this year. And I think, you know, I've got another 30, 40 years now to go and just live my life fully and feel alive.
Oh, I love
and help others do so. And help others do so.
I feel like I'm your book publisher or your editor because I'm now thinking I also like the title Better Not Bitter. That's a killer title.
And I'm writing these down actually as we're talking. Yeah. I've got them scribbling on a bit of paper here.
I mean, I can see 3 or 4 books coming down the pike with you, and you are a delight. I'm so happy to be able to share you with my listeners. Your story is amazing. Sweetie, you're only 60. You've got a long way to go. And I think you've got a lot of books coming out of you.
I have. Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it is very much, I can see them and I can hold, and I visualize my finished, you know, my published books in my hands, you know, and it's, I can feel them in my hands. And yes, I've got a lot to say. And but you know, it's wonderful. And it's about, you know, writing what wants to come out from me now. And I have just, you know, I just feel I've gone through so much, but learned so much from it. And, you know, I've learned so much that, you know, other people don't have to go through things to the same extent I did, because I can actually help them, you know, bypass some of those things I did.
Well, you found your passion, and I always tell my listeners that there's no need to reinvent the wheel, because there's so many wonderful people who are out there who will share what they've been through. And I think you're ready to open your gates, and I think you're going to just blossom and flourish. And I'm thrilled that I've been able to have you on the show and that we've been able to share you with everyone. Keep me posted and let me know when this book comes out.
Absolutely. We can I'll come and tell you all about it, you know. And the other thing I would say as well for your listeners, you know, I would love just to get to know some of them. And you will find me on Facebook every day at MaureenSharphouse.coaching. And I give away a coaching session with me every single week. To my fan of the week, I give away a 30-minute Skype personal coaching session from me, just for, you know, people getting to know me and comment and share on my posts. And it would be lovely just to connect with some of your listeners and help. I'm, you know, happy to help in any way I can.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, we only have 4.5 million listeners out there. So I'm sure.
Oh, is that all?
That's all. So I'm sure a few of them will take you up on it. And I will certainly take you up on when I Got Sick of Being Sick comes out. And to my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Maureen as much as I've enjoyed sharing her with you. My upcoming guests will amaze, amuse, and astonish you just like Maureen. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. We'd love to welcome you to our No Whining World. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and we especially love sharing our secrets for success. Always remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, you can just start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, Maureen Sharphouse. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos. And you're listening to January Jones.
We've got the love we speak, we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes. It's all we're in love the way.
Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.